I am unashamed. What about you?
So welcome to Unashamed. Our overall stock has gone up today on the Unashamed podcast because Missy has joined us.
Mine especially. Better half.
Jason's stock is way up today. Thank you, Missy, for agreeing to come and be on the Unashamed podcast. The one thing I hear the most from especially our female fans, and by the way, it's definitely growing because everywhere I go now and speak and talk to people afterwards, there are a lot of women that come up and say, I never miss an episode of Unashamed, and please have the wives on more.
Actually, I'm a little nervous today. Usually Jace is nervous because he came home yesterday and said, no, you called me. You said, can you please be on the podcast tomorrow?
I did. But guess who asked me to ask you that question?
Well, I've never heard you say that before, so I thought, what is going to happen today that I'm not aware of?
Well, we've been wanting to have one of our wives back on again, and so you happen to be in town. And
we're in a transition. We're transitioning
books,
from Luke to Acts in an overall way, and we don't want to run off and leave Zach because he's special.
Although we hear he's in a conference, we're not sure what he's conferring about.
What's funny about you saying that is I was going to say before you said that, but once you started talking, I didn't want to dare interrupt you.
Good choice.
What I was going to say was this is the first time we've had you on the podcast that I wasn't nervous. And then you said you were nervous.
Well, we need to remember, Jason, all that's said about this. Mystery.
You never know where Phil's going, babe.
Three times. All of this is a mystery. And that all these people could come together under one head, even Jesus, members of one body, and share us together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Somewhere in that, it is a mystery to the world.
Yep.
They would not think we were that close.
Right.
In the heavenly realms, even.
Oh, yeah, I know it. Yeah,
that's Ephesians 3 where we were talking about it.
Then got dad's juices flowing on Ephesians.
No. So I thought he was going to make the point in Ephesians 5 and with mystery on why Missy chose to marry me.
That's been a mystery ever since it happened. Well,
I use it in our speeches, as an evidence of God.
So I got a lot of questions to ask, Missy. So we're just going to start diving in because I have a few. And then I know we talked about a couple of things in past podcasts that I love getting clarification because when Mia was on, the last time Mia was on, I just point blank. I said, your dad is prone to exaggeration. You realize that, Mia? She said, oh, I know that fully.
It's in our DNA.
I know
it is. No, you can't blame that on DNA. Oh, yeah.
You came from the line of Jubal. We came from the line of exaggeration.
No, that would be the Kay Robertson line of exaggeration.
That's true. That's right. If there's DNA, it comes
from learned.
Do you like my Jubal line, Phil? I did that for you.
But Mia fully agreed with me, which I so appreciated because I put her on the spot. But she's like, oh, no, you're right. She said, and then she was telling me stuff about her dad, which was great.
I think I've been getting better on it.
I wouldn't know. I stopped listening.
We said that.
Sorry,
said you couldn't listen
handle
to it.
It's
like, our entire thinking is comes to a head when all this went down. The death of Jesus, his burial, his resurrection, coming down to earth, the spirits given for all people. You add all that up, you say, there was a, when Jesus came on the scene, he and he alone created such a idea as all this.
Right.
I mean, heaven and earth coming together. I mean.
Well, and we, Jason.
I think it's a, what's the word? It's a warmth in all of that. I mean,
it changed all of our lives for sure.
Well, thankfully is not an exaggeration. All of that actually happened.
That's
and even
right.
more than we could ask or imagine, even more than we could dream up or fathom. He did it. That's awesome.
That's where
Jay says, Missy, that if it was not for Jesus, y'all wouldn't be together.
True.
Because that was the draw for both of you.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
Because
Very
you're
true.
So different, which is true. So
we just didn't have a physical type of relationship, even though, you know, I'd kiss on you every once in a while and you kiss me back, which is great. But compared to, I think, most relationships, it had a greater spiritual presence. Would you agree?
Somehow, both of us at a young age were thinking long-term in our personal lives. And you had seen what happened with your parents, and you wanted their new relationship. And I had never known anything different than just you figure it out and you work it out. And so looking for someone who would do that with me, I realized that at a young teenage time in my life. And thankfully, you did too.
Yeah, well, my number one goal back then was to try to get as many people to heaven as possible. And you can attest to that. That's what was driving me at that point in my life. I just was excited about sharing Jesus. And so I came out of my shell and started, because to share Jesus, you have to interact with people, which is the first 15 years of my life. I did the opposite, you know. So through that conversation, you know, I happened to have a conversation with Missy. And so that's just kind of how it got started.
Well, and we just did our marriage refresh this past weekend. And it's interesting because the theme was True Grit was the theme. Of course, Anna
Wasn't that Trey, a Western with John Wayne?
It was. It is. And
so the men like that in the
way. Well, I was super excited when I heard about the theme because True Grit's one of my all-time favorite movies, both the original and the remake, which is rare. And so when Lisa and I spoke during our host talk, that's what we talked about. But my point I was going to make with what you guys are describing about how your relationship began, again, you guys struggle. We all struggle. It's not like anybody's perfect. But when Jesus begins at the center, it begins in such a more healthy place. So we're talking to so many couples that had no Jesus, either for one or both. And so now they've come to Christ. Well, they brought all the baggage with them. So when you talk about True Grit, we're talking about trying to hang in there. Of course, the grit, which this is Anna Tomlinson, who's a good friend of both of ours, who came up with this, and it's really good. So it's an acrostic for grace, radical obedience, intentionality, and then transparency is the T. So that was the 4 points. And so we basically taught that over the course of the retreat. And, you know, like you would think, there were some people there that gave some testimony of what God had done to get them to the place. But ultimately, it ended with, my relationship with God first isn't where it needs to be, then we're really going to struggle with our relationship with each other. And so that has to be the starting place. But for a lot of couples, it's a restarting place.
Well, if you think about the foundation, we built our relationship on the foundation of the rock. Jesus was the foundation.
Right.
But so many couples like you're talking about, their foundation is each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even yours and Lisa's testimony about her foundation was you.
Correct.
That didn't do her much good for a long time because you failed her because you're human.
Right.
And so trying to build a foundation after you've already, you know, put the boards up for the walls, you got to go back in and try to put the foundation underneath a house you're already building. It's going to be a lot more difficult than if you start with the rock.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And then we talk about what can we do by leaving here, by having God where he needs to be to fill the places that a spouse can't possibly fill, but can be a great companion to walk with you once mm-hmm. he's done that. So the reason I brought up the retreat was that since it was a Western theme, because True Grit, so we had like the Western stuff, the gifts they get, and everything was about Western. And even the night we did our banquet, they encouraged people to dress Western. And a lot of people went all out. You know, some do, some don't. There's 65 couples there. But y'all's name came up. And so this is what I've been holding this for four podcasts, Missy, because I was going to bring this up the first podcast. So y'all's name came up in the podcast, marriage retreat. So we had our banquet, and then we were going to do square dancing after the banquet, which I've never participated in. And there was a guy who's a local guy
mm-hmm.
that does square dancing.
Yes.
He's a redheaded guy. And so he's like explaining to this group of people about square dancing and what he's about to teach us.
I think we've used this guy.
He's awesome. He's awesome.
And so what he said was, he said, I want to tell you, this is going to be fun and just follow my lead. And he said, I'll tell you what Jace Robertson said. And so I'm standing over there. He has no idea.
I don't remember what I said to this fellow.
So he said, the next day after Jace did this with his daughter, at a daddy-daughter banquet, mm-hmm. he told his wife, Missy, who told me, because she saw him, you saw him in an airport mm-hmm. or something, said that this was one of the top five nights of his life.
Yeah.
That was an obvious exaggeration. I'm kidding, babe. You got to know how this works.
Oh, my goodness.
Y'all made fun of me for exaggerating, but now when I said something like this, I'm not exaggerating.
That's why I brought it up, because I want to hear clarification. First, if it was that, because I was laughing. I thought Jay's and Missy are being talked about at this retreat.
Well, it was it's an intentional night. Talked about intentionality. It's an intentional night that the church put together and hired him to come in and really so easily teach how to do some dancing, which is intimidating to people, especially COC people who've never danced. We choreographed at school.
Oh, yeah. I can always tell the ones in settings like that who went to bars before they became a Christian. Yeah. They know how to dance.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, all the rest of us, no.
My point was, it was because I was with my daughter. He must have thought it was a square dance.
Well, I think it's just the whole being, and you're not, it's not awkward because you're being told instructions on what to do one step after the other, and you're having to work together. So you and me are doing
it. Right. It was fun.
I got his point. What he was trying to say was, if James Rogers is going to do this, y'all can do this. That's what he was saying.
But I like to dance. I mean, you've seen me dance.
Yeah. It's more of a Bill.
Well, we laughed about it because we did the first thing where you run down the thing and come back, and then you do the round each way, and then you do the peel around and go under the arch. And so we did that at first, and of course I was winded after about 5 minutes.
Well, after watching that halftime show the other night, I really think I dance better than I thought.
Yeah.
That's the next thing I want to ask about is that. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that you guys were brought up in a positive way, that was something good. And look, our people loved it. It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
Well, did you ever talk about grits? If you're going to do it on true.
I never got to grits, which is why we need to have Jason at the marriage retreat, because you always come up with a unique. I talked about True Grit, the movie, but I didn't talk about grits.
How do you not bring up grits? So I'm going to do at some point. So Missy and I also did. That was 100% your design. So what do you want to call that?
We just called it the Valentine's dinner at Logtown. So we decided to do a few events this year. We didn't do very many last year, and I kind of regretted doing all of that because we got Logtown Estate, and we wanted to use it for the public, too, in our community. So Kendall is the property manager, and that's Phyllis's daughter-in-law. She does a phenomenal job. She loves it. She does all the weddings and the events and deals with all of the people and all the problems and just loves it all.
And I wanted to mention that since you brought him up, that because a lot of people have followed Phyllis, obviously being now in our life and in our world. And so obviously, you know, she was hoping her kids would move here, but they had lives, you know, they got married. But because of the opportunity of working out there, which is Kendall's dream job, and Joel is able to help and do what he does as well as another thing. So just another opportunity, which is that family can come together and do great things.
She is a godsend out there.
She's great.
She's amazing.
Let's take a break. So one of our sponsors, NetSuite, which is from Oracle. They give us some numbers, Jace, that are very important. They want us to understand numbers. Are you a numbers guy?
Well, the only numbers I know, because I do own stock in the company Oracle, which I actually looked the definition up, and I thought, well, we're kind of oracles of God. They're oracles of software.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that they owned a company called NetSuite, so you can tell us more.
So NetSuite is here to help your business, and there's three numbers that they want us to focus on. The first one is 37,000, which is a big number. Yeah. That's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system. It streamlines accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, all the things you need for your business. 37,000 businesses have made this switch to these guys. Second number is 25, and that's their age. They've been doing this 25 years. That's how long NetSuite has been in business, helping businesses be better. They do more with less. They close their books in days, not weeks, and they drive down costs. And all of us in business know that's how you make money. And the last number is number one. because your business is one of a kind. You get a customized solution for all of your key performance indicators, which they call KPIs, in one effective system and one source of truth, one truth. Manage risk, get reliable forecasts, improve your margins, everything you need in one place. So here's what you do to get it. You download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance, and it's absolutely free at netsuite.com/Phil. That's netsuite.com/Phil. You get your own KPI checklist. It's free, netsuite.com/Phil. So, yeah, so finish that. I just wanted to mention that it's been a real blessing.
Well, set it up. I mean, look, not only did she do a good job, it was torrential rain. Missy opened this up to the public, and I thought, you know, to tell you, to be honest, I've already told Missy this, so this is not going to be like an intervention. But she asked me to do this, and I said yes. Of course, then I forgot about it.
Of course.
She asked me a month ago. And so a couple days before, I was lining up the weekend here, and she's like, oh, we got that thing Saturday. I'm like, what thing? And so it was this thing.
If I could just get you to look at the calendar. It's on the calendar.
I do not like calendars.
So that's not my problem.
I don't like to be put in a box.
It's just information. It's just information. It's just right there in front of me.
I don't like that. They tried to put Jesus in a box, and how'd that work out?
I don't have an argument for this.
He come out. Yeah.
So we sold tickets to this event, had it catered, Kendall decorated, everything. We're watching the weather because she wanted to do it in the barn outside, and thought, okay, well, it's probably going to be cold. February is usually our coldest month. We'll get curtains. We'll rent heaters. I said, okay, you do whatever you want to do. We'll show up. It is torrential rain. We have not seen rain like this. When? Months.
Yeah,
months.
It's been a dry year. Yep.
I mean, it just started raining and pouring and never stopped. It just would not stop. I thought, there's no way people are going to show up. I mean, these tickets are pre-bought.
I would just let that ticket go.
I just would not think that they would be coming. Everyone came except one couple. It's because they had a sickness in their family, and they had told us few days before they weren't coming. So every other couple came. And when we got there, it was wet inside. The curtains were blowing, and they were having the best time.
Everybody was shocking that people were there. And we're doing this.
They were celebrating each other. It was a date.
Yeah.
It was a date.
And our date had a bumpy start, because since I had forgotten about this, and now we're 2 days in, well, Missy then told me that we were going to speak.
What?
Yeah. So I thought, well, I got to say something. And so I jotted down a few notes hurriedly. But then when it got time to go, I couldn't remember what I was going to talk about, and I couldn't remember where those notes were.
And we were home all day.
I was studying
all day to prepare.
I was just guessing here, Missy, but probably when you told him a month ago that he forgot, you probably said we're going to something, right?
Say some encouraging words.
Yeah, right, right, right.
Well, I thought it was like, thanks for being here. I didn't know it was going to be a presentation. So I asked her to drive, so I could find whatever I jotted down a couple days ago and refresh my memory.
Because you didn't have time to do that all day at
I was studying for this podcast.
Okay, anyway, I'm just clarifying.
Four podcasts coming up and one marriage party. And so, but I didn't realize that it was driving rainstorm. And so now she's driving. And so we get about a mile into the journey and almost had a wreck. And it was not Missy's fault, but it created some bad energy, because I hollered at her because this car was coming down Arkansas Road, and there's a shoulder on Arkansas Road, which is illegal to get into and make the turn. They had their blinker on. And at the last second before they started turning, they're in the shoulder, Missy like propels to take off, and I noticed that car turned the blinker off and accelerated.
Oh boy.
We're fixed to hit within 2 seconds. So my holler was not like, hey, well, you know, I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And Missy looked, and this car just come oblivious of us, just come zooming in front of us. And so then it was kind of tense then, because now I'm like, well, we could have died right here. And so
let's talk about
the
that.
Next thing that happened.
Well, do we have to go into every detail? Basically, it was just really tough driving conditions. I was doing the best that I could.
He was
criticizing every move I made. So finally, when we got to Longtown.
This is just what you want to be happening before you're going to talk about marriage.
When we got to Longtown, I finally said, that's it. I shoved it in park. Yeah. I scooted over in the back seat. I said, please. Bring us the rest of the way in.
Yeah, that's what happened. She, but leaving out the details, I think, is not giving an accurate depiction.
See, this we is were what, on. Do you want me to come back?
Yes.
Do you want me to come back?
It wasn't your fault. We were on 165, and she hit her brakes, and our car started sliding.
Oh, you did a hydroplane?
Yeah, we started sliding, and she avoided the wreck. It was great. But still, it's like, well, that was wreck number two. That was So when we got on the levee, I shouldn't have said this. So we're on a levee that's one lane, that's the lead in to our place.
Yep.
And it is just pouring. The ditches are full. And so I just said, whatever you do, because we were coming up there and all the cars are parked on the levee. Well, it's a one lane road. It's no problem. You can ease around them if it's dry, but now it's raining so hard. I just said, whatever you do. Drive slow. And she just put it in park. You do it. So then when I step out of the car, I stepped in, I thought the road, but the water went over my boot. And so now my right foot's wet, so I endured pain and misery the rest of the night because it was chilly and my right foot is now wet.
Did you call that karma?
So I get in.
I'm not saying anything at this point.
So I get in and sneak around and we make it. And so I'm just saying it. I thought it was ironic that we're going to get up and talk about marriage and how to get along. And we had this episode, which I think was perfect.
Was it still too fresh to not just go there?
No, I did.
Oh, I would have done.
Because Kendall did great. She had some kind of icebreaker questions that they talked about at their tables before we got there. And she's like, let me just ask y'all a few of those. So we had no idea what they were.
This is an unannounced Q&A.
Yes, yeah. I said, let's go for it. And one of them was, which one of you is the most impatient? And I raised my hand. I was very honest. Yeah. And she was like, do you have an example? I said, actually, yes, I do. So we told the story of pulling up there and saying, you know what? I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. You take over.
I bet everybody was laughing because
they were.
Yeah.
They were laughing. It went good. I mean, because Missy, she put a lot of pressure on me. And well, she did, because I said, what do you want me to do in this speech? And which is why I was riding the passenger seat, because she said, well, just start off and be funny. And I'm like, babe, I went through the speech. 90% of the things that I say that people laugh at, it was an accident. It's hard to just be funny. So, and then I was really nervous when we started having to answer the questions that we weren't prepared for.
Right.
Because it was like, who is the one that is more impatient? Well, I'm like, do I raise my hand? Do I call it like
I say? Be honest.
So were you just, you were holding back. All right, so I wasn't planning this, Jace, but since you just brought this up, I'm going to go here. This is a impromptu mailbag from Robert H. Jr. He said, first of all, I want to thank you guys for being a light in the world. He's trying to do his own podcast. He mentioned he loved the show. And then he says this, he said, but now I get to listen to Jace because he's no longer able to watch the podcast. I listen to him trying to understand why people find him funny. It is his matter of factness, and he has fact in quotes, that makes him hilarious. He sounds serious, so serious it comes off as funny. So, Jace, don't try to be funny. Just continue to speak as you are led, and don't be shocked when people laugh. It's all good.
Yeah. What's this guy's name?
Robert H. Jr.
We need to send him something. That guy gets me. We finally...
When you said that, I thought, man, I remembered reading a letter about this very thing.
See? That's what I'm trying to say. And so when people say, because our showrunner does that all the time. She's like, okay, I think it's time for something funny, Jace.
Well, you got to remember.
I just pull out my funny bag.
In Ephesians 3, this mystery, which I've been describing, is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. That brings us all together.
That's exactly right.
Well, that's now
rain or shine, sleet or snow.
And heavy rain. Let's take another break. So, Dad, has there been any breakdowns in your home, sweet home, anything going
coffee,
on?
My coffee pot? Yeah, just kind of had backfired on me and I had to get another one.
So a new coffee pot.
Ran out of heat or something. I don't know.
Well, and that's bad for you because you're a coffee man. You got to have your coffee, right?
Stout coffee. Stout.
I'm not sure the Home Shield, American Home Shield, is going to cover your coffee
pot. Probably the coffee pot, no, because there's some things that apply and some that don't.
Well, everything else is ginning. So.
There you go. So American Home Shield is what we're here to talk to you about. Not sure if the coffee pot will be covered, but, you know, dishwashers, leaky faucets, faulty water heaters, HVAC systems. There's a lot of different things.
We've had that through the years.
Oh, yeah. All of this has happened. And you need it. I mean, these things are expensive. So AHS is what they're called, American Home Shield. They have a plan that works for you and your budget, and it's simple. When a covered item in your home breaks and you're under their shield, their system, American Home Shield and their trusted and qualified pros will fix or replace it based on the coverage limits in your agreement. So what you do is you go to ahs.com/contracts and you're going to get coverage details. It's going to tell you about your limit amounts, your fees, your limitations, exclusions, all these things. Right now, as our listeners for Unashamed, you get $50 off. So that's just to get you going. And you go to ahs.com/Phil to save that $50. American Home Shield, protect what you don't expect. CAHS.com/contracts for coverage details, limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions.
That'd be handy.
So in my presentation, I did bring up Ephesians 5, I got to the point of when he talked about the women's role and the husband's role, and I was going to make a point about in the women's role, you have all sorts of things, and Missy read Proverbs 31. It was very good, and she did. Do you want to talk about what you did?
Well, my idea, what we did is, as I read Proverbs 31, wives, think about one of the things that you will hear that you need to work on in your marriage or in your life. And then husbands, think about what your wife really rocks at in one of those. And so when we finished, I told the women to whisper to their husbands what they want to work on out of that passage. And then husbands return it by saying, well, you rock at, and then say which one it was. So it was a little bit of encouraging and challenging for the wives.
So she did a great job. But my humor point was going to be, there's a lot of stories and chapters about all these qualities of women. And I was going to make a joke when it got to my turn, but she went first. I was going to say, but men, he just basically gave you one thing. And I said, because, you know, I was going to make a joke that we tend to be a one-track man. And I was going to make a joke before I read something earth-shattering about that we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church, which is the one really thing that trumps everything. Because when you really think about what that means, that's very profound. He gave his life for us. So, but I was going to make a joke about sex, but Missy stole my thunder when before she, She went Phil on me, and before she read the women thing, we didn't discuss it together. She's like, "No, look, I'm not going to address the men because y'all just thinking about one thing, sex." And nobody really laughed at first. It was kind of like a, and then I went, "Amen," and they laughed. Really? So it was a tag team joke. So it still, you know, hit home. But what I did, because when Missy said she wanted me to do something funny. So, and I hope Phil's fine with this because you said this. So what I decided to do, because I talked about, we had already talked about the trouble we had getting there. Just because it's, when you're married, it brings out the best in you, but it also brings out the worst in you. And sometimes it's raining and things happen. And,
sometimes you almost have wrecks.
There's temptations there, but you work it out and you keep the big things, the big thing. But I wanted to say that we all bring a certain amount of baggage to a marriage. You know, you brought that up. But a lot of that, we usually think of bad decisions or bad choices, but a lot of it's how you were raised.
Yeah.
And so I was like, look.
It's not necessarily bad baggage, it's just baggage.
Half of my childhood was, I was raised by people who were not in Jesus.
Right.
So some baggage came about by that. Sure. And so I decided to do some quotes by Phil, because I had to say, look, part of the culture shock that Missy and I decided to join, that was where we had a lot of problems. Because, I mean, she's just, I used to say, you know, we don't have a lot in common, but there's a past podcast where she proved me wrong on that.
Debunked that theory. Yeah.
We, over the years, we've developed some commonality that I wasn't aware of. So you are right, but it was harder at first because I would rather be in the woods. I was trained by, you know, Phil was a man's man, especially early on. And so he had some of these statements that he said when we were kids, and now you probably remember them. So I decided to do these quotes, and I said, look, I had to overcome these. Now, some of them were great. The reason I brought up the grits is one of Phil's quotes that he says that, you know, people who get married and no one knows how to cook, and they say, oh, we're not going to worry about it because we're going to live off love. And he said, I tell you what, you'll starve to death, which was a great quote. Love. That's why I brought up the grits.
Yeah.
But so I just listed a few of the quotes because I thought they would be funny, and they were. And so the first one I gave was, when God made a woman, he made a very strange creature.
Yep.
Everybody
That's
laughed.
A long one. That's a good.
I was like, but you got to remember, I was told that many times. So my instinct.
Did that turn out to be true?
That did turn out to be true. But I'm
especially
saying,
from a man's perspective, they're very strange.
But it also became a problem because I couldn't just write off everything as just strange. At some point, I've got to roll up my sleeves and deal with this strange creature, okay? So I can't just,
and strange is not always necessarily bad. It was like Randy Kirby's description of John Howard. He said he's wonderfully odd. I mean, that's a great way to describe John Howard.
So then I had this one where a situation becomes a crisis when cattle or women stampede. And I said, now, you may be wondering why I've attached that to Phil Robertson, because he used to say William Shakespeare said that. But now, if you go Google
that. Yeah, we couldn't track that down to William
Shakespeare. Well, now if you Google it, it either says anonymous or Phil Robertson.
So now, Dad, you said it enough where you're the one that originated.
So that got a thunderous bolt. So another thing I said I had to work through is, because I do remember Phil sitting me down and was like, okay, here's what you're looking for in a woman. Three things. And you probably remember this. You remember? Does she carry a Bible?
Yep.
Can she cook? Will she pick your ducks? And then he would add, because if she don't pick your ducks, she'll pick your pocket. These are all quotes from Phil. That he's
Do you remember that one, Dad?
In my brain.
Oh, the ups and downs of childhood.
Now, I got to some serious ones, you know. I said one of the things that I
forgot if she won't pick her nose, she'll pick her pocket. That's pretty funny, though.
I did get into a couple of serious ones where Phil told me that, you know, because those were kind of fun, and it's like, yeah. But I got into the one about a woman wants something she can't have, because I remember staring at the ceiling several times thinking, what does that mean? Because if I go with her, doesn't that mean it's over?
That's right. That she has
coming out of the 50s and 60s, that's kind of what it was like.
You know,
it causes trouble.
Yeah.
You know, marriage problems. I came and saw a whole department of women and the roles they played.
Yeah.
First of all, they were in poor. And I mean, it was to get good, godly kindness, love, gentleness, faithfulness. That's what the women of the 50s and 60s.
Right.
And then that began to.
Well, culture changed for sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, culturally, that was a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, and still, you know, we've been
Women had a tough job coming up in the 50s and 60s. A lot of poor black, we were poor.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, we were, but to come out of that with love, faithfulness, gentleness, it's asking for a lot.
Right. Well, back to our original thesis, with Jesus, that becomes possible. So, just a reminder, Dad's new book, I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It: Why Jesus Is Your Greatest Hope on Earth and in Eternity. It's going to be coming out March the 12th, but we're trying to get folks to pre-order it, and the publisher has offered something great if you pre-order. If you go to ICouldBeWrongButIDoubtIt.com and you pre-order, you're going to get your choice of either Uncanceled, Theft of America's Soul, or Your Daily Fill as a gift just for signing up and pre-ordering the book. So check it out, ICouldBeWrongButIDoubtIt.com. Jace, you get a lot of, kind of out there emails from some of our Unashamed Nation from time to time. Have you ever received any that you're like, whoa?
I do. I'm not sure how they got my number, but I'm also not sure what my liver looks like. So some things are just unknown.
Perfect lead in. So I got one of those emails. I was like, whoa, someone sent me an email just this past week and said, my husband needs that liver stuff you're talking about on the podcast, but I can't remember the address. Well, because we do this ad so much, I was able to tell her getliverhelp.com, and she sent me back a note and said, my husband's liver thanks you. And so already there are unashamed listeners that are listening to this podcast. We talk about the health of our liver because of our friends at Get Liver Help, which is liver health formula, actually. And they've got data that shows that fatty liver leads to heart failure, and you're 3.5 times more likely to have that heart failure if you have a fatty liver. About a third of Americans struggle with this, and so a lot of people are at risk. And the reason why is we know your liver is sort of your body's filter system. Cholesterol, alcohol, Tylenol, all these things that come at your liver, you need it to be healthy. A sluggish, fatty liver makes us gain weight and lose energy, and we don't want that. For decades now, your liver has helped you with over 500 key functions every day, so it's time to help your liver. So here's what you do. You go to GetLiverHelp.com. It's an all-natural supplement. It contains 11 clinically proven botanicals that help recharge and protect your liver. It's going to ignite your fat-burning metabolism. It's going to boost your energy, and it's going to transform how you look and feel. Try Liver Health Formula. Receive a free bottle of blood sugar formula that helps reduce your sugar cravings as well. Liver Health Formula gets you going. GetLiverHelp.com/unashamed. Get your free bonus gift. That's GetLiverHelp.com/unashamed.
So anyway, but that led me to, I kind of gave some L's about what I thought the key to marriage was. And, you know, one of them was loyalty. And I gave a good quote from Phil where he said, you may think the grass is greener on the other side, but the grass is not greener. It's meaner. Remember saying that? No, that was a good quote. Yeah. Now, I did do some negative ones, too, because Phil told me after a girl broke up with me one time, he's like, never trust a woman. That was probably bad advice.
That was a little bit less.
And so I kind of struggle with that because, you know, when I got to 1 Corinthians 13, which was our kind of theme verse for the night, when it says love always trusts, because I remember reading that thinking, no, love, you know, this is, you have to be vulnerable.
You know, looking back, I erroneously said, this is, what did I use? I said something, she was a, oh, I said, I call her Miss Sharp Tongue. I meant that she was.
She would tell you what she thought.
Well, they were finding their way in the teenage years, and you're learning how to get along with your mate. A lot of things can happen, but I will say, and I have said, I said, I'll withdraw that now regarding Missy. I said, she's no longer Miss Sharptongue. She's way better, and she's can cook.
He's changed your description, Missy.
I was giving
her accolades.
You won
him over with your
food. You won him over.
She won me over by, you know, she's in the kitchen now. She's
cooking with me. There we go.
And what she's cooking is downright delicious.
Oh, she cooks like mom.
I was a shock to my system. I said, Sharptongue has graduated out of that.
So... And that's why we had to have that talk. The fact that you can't, and Missy did something really good that night because she talked about even going back to our kids which we've done on many times and previous occasions. And we talked about where we could have done things better. And it's amazing how it diffused our kids.
Yeah.
Because all kids get bitterness and rebellion towards their parents. It's just part of the cycle of life. I think
it turns out, Jace, you and this woman sitting right here and the way they raise their young people, you know, I could tell, what's that oldest boy's name?
Reed.
When Reed had his ups and downs, but you factor it all in and look at it now 30 years later, y'all did a masterful job raising them.
Well, thank you, Phil. But, you know, I think it was the Lord.
They're still children of faith. That's instilled in them.
Oh, this really is the family.
You've done well there. Both of you have.
The family really is. It projects being a part of the family of God. I mean, you remember that Ephesians 5 passage, he eventually gets down there and he's like, you know, I'm talking about husbands and wives. You may think that, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. And we're part of his family.
The reason it's written, Jace, is there's struggles.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
As we mature in the faith, it's a struggle.
But God uses imperfect people to get Jesus out to the world. He also uses imperfect people to raise godly sons and daughters. And that's just the way it is. I mean,
I say they did a good job. Well, you say that.
I think they did great. And I think it shows you also, like, mine and Lisa's marriage could not be more different than y'all two. And yet we've been partners in the gospel this whole time. So it also shows you that you don't have to have the same experiences at all to then merge into the idea of kingdom work, because that's what we all do together. And that's an encouragement for you guys out there, because look, every family, you know, you're family. So you have family issues that you deal with. When Lisa talks about Phyllis coming in, because, you know, all of a sudden we've all been together as one group for all the years, 40 plus years now.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, we have Phyllis come along, and so you got a whole other family that interjects into our family, and you're trying to make that work. And it's interesting because Lisa, for the first time, noticed after 40 years, she said, "I'm not sure your dad knows my name." I said, "Well, he knows your name." She said,
"Who said this now?"
This is Lisa. Oh. She said, "He only calls me Al's woman." He said, "I call out there and I say I need to talk to Miss Kay," and he said, "Miss Kay, it's Al's woman." And so the other day, recently, she said, "Phil, do you know my name?" Dad said, "Yeah, I know your name." And so then he didn't say it. He just, there was a pause there. Then she said, "What is it?" And so Dad said, "Lisa." And she said, "Okay, I was just checking to make sure."
Because the difference in me and you is when she said that, if Missy would have said, "I'm not sure your dad knows my name," I would have said, "Well, I'm not sure he knows my name on a daily basis."
But his point, her point in saying this, she does this in a presentation recently, because she talked about how different dad has been with Phyllis. compared to how we've seen him interact with women in our family, including daughters.
Phyllis walked in here with her artist husband yesterday about 5:30.
Tony.
Again, the name.
They showed up, and they brought supper. She cooked a pot of rice, a pot of beans.
Yep.
She walked in. She said, we're furnishing them food for supper tonight. I said, well, good. So I see growth.
Well, of course.
Among our long lost daughter.
But my point is that we see growth in you because as you've gotten older, you've gotten, I would say, sweeter would be the word, just like what you just described with Jason and Missy. And I see that with Phyllis a lot because you're different with her than you. And that's the daughter-in-laws have noticed. Certainly Lisa has noticed. And so that was her point when she was talking about that is, you know, we get the idea that people can never change how they really are, but really we all can change.
I haven't been mad over some issue in years.
Right.
You've
gotten sweeter. Bill Smith was the same way. As he got older, Bill got sweeter.
The last time I got mad is when I got looked like an idiot because I brought up the fact that I think when we have family gatherings due to our older members of our family, we should all wear name tags. And everybody's like, that's the dumbest idea. But now, after having this discussion, I'm going to reaffirm that. If you think that Phil or anybody else in our family has forgotten your name, let's just all wear name tags when we all get together.
Well, I will admit.
Now it went from you four to modern day, and you say, it's about 50.
It's almost 60.
More than 50.
Almost 60 different individuals.
But it's who you hang around because I'm with Jace more, so I know your grandchildren's name. But I will admit, with Willie's large growing family, I have to sometimes think it through to remember Rebecca's the kid. I mean, you have to work at it.
With that, can I interrupt y'all?
You can. We want to know what you think because we have had lunch. Before you do it, though, let's take our last break.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
I have breaking news that I was just given permission to tell.
Wait a minute. Okay, breaking news.
Yes, we've held this in for a few weeks, but Reed and Brighton are on baby number three.
Oh, really?
Yes. Oh, that's impressive.
11-year-old kid sent that to
us. That's awesome. Yeah, so we're super excited about that.
We're growing.
Speaking of growing.
Bill's keeping this up. Go write that down.
What's going to be this one's name?
Well, we don't know yet.
They don't know.
They don't even know.
They're not going to find out the sex of the baby because they have one apiece and they want it to be a surprise to them. But, you know, like when Jay said, come be on the podcast. I hesitated because first of all, don't super enjoy this, but I feel like it's necessary because y'all do such a great job with Unashamed and your demographic is the men. And I know the women they listen to it too, but if it's been a while since I've sat at this table and it's mainly because I just didn't want to. And I didn't want to because life was really hard last year. And I thought, if I come sit at this table, there's nothing that I can talk about. I can't because we're living through so much stuff at the time.
Yeah. And you may jump in here. I don't want you to start
just
crying.
Oh, I'm good now because everything is going so well. Yeah. I mean, we're on the other side of so many really tragedies that happened last year. Yeah. And one of them was with Brighton's family.
Yeah.
And just getting through all of that with the emotional trauma that they went through, the physical trauma that she was helping with her sister-in-law, just, you know, because she's a nurse, Brighton is. And so all of that was really overwhelming. And then 7 days later, Mia had a really hard surgery, and then an extra hard recovery that we did not see coming. I mean, we ended up back in the hospital 4 or 5 days later, and no one knows that. We didn't put that out there, but we were back in the hospital with her, getting her fluids and trying to get her to stop, you know, throwing up, vomiting, and she just was not intaking anything. It was really, really a rough recovery. She lost like 13 pounds or something. If you see Mia, she's tiny. So she now is doing fantastic, and her head is much harder than the rest of her body because she is determined that she's going to get well. Every time this happens, she's determined she's going to get well. And even at Sadie's LO conference, which was just maybe 2 weeks after that surgery, she wanted to go so bad they put her in a wheelchair and wheeled her around the convention center. So her determination and will is what gets her through so much. And now she's studying abroad with Lipscomb. And we did not think that was possible either. So she's doing fantastic. Brighton's family is, you know, dealing with the loss of those two children. But one thing that is what I've called a God wink is when Brighton and Reed told us at Christmas that they were expecting their third child. Of course, I'm squealing and screaming, and Jace is looking at me like I've lost my mind.
Yeah, because we were opening presents, and she opened, and it was just a cardboard cutout kind of thing that said, I forgot what exactly it said, baby number three. Or
on the way.
On mm-hmm. the way. But I didn't, it was addressed to us, but Missy opened it, and she didn't have time to say, hey. She just
reacted
nuts.
You weren't paying attention until she went nuts.
Well, it was we were opening the gift. I get it. You know what I mean? She just went, I mean, crazy. And I thought, what is wrong? What has
you said?
Happened?
No, you what you said? Oh, this finally happened. She snapped.
He looked at me, he's like, what is it? Because I got up and I ran over and I hugged Brighton and I had tears in my eyes. And Jay said, what?
Because I thought, what could
so
you?
You're thinking,
what
why would he
do you
not put
think
two and two
it
together?
Could possibly be?
I had no idea. What? It's a piece of cardboard that I can't
is
read.
Is it a day at the spa?
I thought, boy, that must be an awesome piece of cardboard.
Man,
I thought it was maybe a picture on it, or I thought, boy, you're kind of overdoing it here.
Well, the guy.
See, he did think Usher was somebody that worked at the stadium.
I know.
So,
he said, yeah. Is it the Usher? I was like, no, it's just Usher. But here's the God wink about all of this is when Brighton did the math and she got her first due date, it is the day that her niece and nephew were killed.
Unbelievable.
So. Wow. I asked her how she felt about that, how her brother felt about that, and her family. And she said at first they started crying, you know.
Yeah.
But then it's like it's something really awesome and wonderful to look forward to instead of just dreading that anniversary date. Now we're looking forward to a new life that God created. So I just thought that was really amazing the way that they're really delving and really trying to get a grip of that true grit in their faith and seeing that hope.
Those children who we lost, they're still here.
Yeah.
They'll see them again.
That's right.
That's the beauty of heaven. Mm-hmm. We had a couple, one of our lead couples that had to drop out of the retreat, which Lisa and I had to fill in some gaps because of a similar tragedy this week. Lost a little child that was kind of extended like this situation. And, you know, it took me back to the whole thing with Reed and Brighton because I was talking to him and I said, look, you never know what your role will be, but it may be like, you know, behind the scenes, like providing for a family going through something like this. And I just couldn't, it took me back to, I could not be prouder of Reed and Brighton and the job they did in their family just to be in a support role, because there's not a lot you can say in moments like that. You're just having to walk with people. And this couple, I was able to, because of their experiences, to then impart some advice to them, just be there in that support role. So, well, you know, that's obviously tragic.
In my speech, you know, when we got to the end, this is what I talked about, because I talked about loyalty and love, which is what Jesus did for us in love when he gave his life. But I also said, you know, whether you believe in God or not, everyone wants to be loved. I said, just acknowledging that will help your marriage. Everyone wants to be loved.
Yeah.
And number two, no one wants to lose a loved one.
Yeah.
You just don't want that to happen, whether you believe in God or not.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of what God offers in Jesus with his plan and his death and his burial and his resurrection. It's because we know at the resurrection, we're all going to be loved forever. It's going to be the best version of ourselves, right. New bodies. No loved ones will be lost.
Correct.
I mean, you're participating in eternal relationships, which was the foundation of our marriage. But that's what keeps us from being at each other's throats. Or, Missy's right, I mean, last year was very difficult for us. Throw in having a baby that was not ours.
You were also finishing up a TV show.
That was on top of it. Raised. But so it was a tough year. But I think this is what we're supposed to be on this earth. We're trying to be Jesus to other people, and it does not come without difficulty and tragedy and the ups and downs of life. But
and a visual encouragement of that is The Chosen. So we got to go see the first few episodes of season 4, and you know, episode 3 deals with, and not spoil, this is coming out when? After the 14th.
Next week, yeah.
So that'll be out of theaters by then. But I won't say exactly what happened, but there is a loss that happens in a very tragic way. And it's a fictional character. So, but you're invested in this story, and you see this loss, and there's going to be so many questions. But I told Jace on the way home, I thought, this is so relatable to so many people, because right now we're at the cliffhanger of how are they going to deal with this, and what is Jesus going to say to them?
Yeah.
And I'm waiting to see how they play that out. We know that, again, like what you said, Bills, we're going to get to see those children again. They're completely innocent.
That's right.
It's another motivation to get it right with the Lord, get a relationship with him, and go see your loved ones in heaven. But dealing with the loss and the hurt here on earth is a real, real thing.
Yep.
And very tangible. And it's one step in front of the other day by day. But Jesus is the way to go.
Excellent. Well, Missy, thank you for saying yes and coming on the podcast. I loved it. I love it anytime. And I usually like to make Jay squirm, but he wasn't even squirming today. He was so
squirming.
Yeah, he was so comfortable.
Yeah, well, make plans to come to Logtown Faith Family Freedom Weekend. We're doing it again.
Ooh, are we really? Yeah. We're doing that again?
We're doing it again, and we're giving plenty of notice this time. Last year, we gave like a month's notice, and we had over 1,000 people come. So now we're giving a lot more notice, and we're going to crank
it up. So we got the tease. We'll get some details on that and tell you in future podcasts, because last year was fantastic. So.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you next time on Unashamed.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.